I'm good. Sorry I missed you last time. I know you've been kind of dealing with, I think it was your father, and so I hope you're hanging in there.
Hanging in there. It's all you can do.
Yeah, I understand. I understand. I tell you, we all kind of go through it as parents, get older. I mean, it's just one of those things we deal with. So, hope you're doing well.
Right. Well, I appreciate that. Hey,
Okay.
I wanted to check with you. This was one of the ideas that I had.
Okay.
When we do the sit-down annual review,
Okay.
each year, what do you think about having, like a, just like a, you hand them a form, just, what are the things that, almost like a, like you would do a review on your assistants or anything, but, on a scale of 1 to 5, different skills done. And then at the very bottom, ask them for a referral. What do you think about that?
I think that could work, and the best time to really identify referrals is during that time and after you've done some great things for people. So, I think that that would work. Now, one of the things that you have to be careful of is a lot of clients aren't gonna take the time to go through kind of a lengthy questionnaire.
No, I would keep it to like 4 or 5 questions. That's it.
Perfect. Perfect. And, one of the things we talked about, I don't know if you were able to listen to the last call, but, on the referral, component, we talked about the use of this, VIPSA model, where you're asking the, client, what do you value from the relationship? What are some of the takeaways that you're getting? And so you go through the components of that model and you discuss it, with them, at some point, probably after, the review is over. So you need to get really familiar with how to communicate that VIPSA model. And so to repeat it, it's value, okay, is what the V stands for. So, what do you value from this experience? And when you make a comment like that, you're getting the client to come over to your side of the table. Okay, what do you value with the work we're doing or from the experience you're getting from us?
Okay.
And then the I stands for, what's important, okay? When you think about your priorities, Joe or Mary, what's important? Can you help us prioritize those things that are important to you relative to the experience? And then you're gonna use the P component, which is permission. With your permission, I'd like to brainstorm. Who in your world, okay, in your it's your company and vendors that you're working with, whatever, would value the kind of service and capabilities that we have to offer. Okay? And you help them out. Is it, friend, colleague, vendor, someone else, partner, that would like to hear from us. And then I'd like to ask, the S is suggestion. I'd like to really ask you, how would you suggest I meet with them? You know, would you be willing to make a personal introduction? You know, and some clients may say, well, you know what, we play golf every Friday, and then we go to lunch. Why don't you come join us, you know, for lunch after our round is over, okay? So you're making that, how would you suggest I meet him or her? And then the A stands for advice. Now, this is a really, really powerful tool, because asking for advice, you know, helps to make people feel good and valued. Uh-huh. So when you're asking for advice, it's like, you know, I need your advice, you know, on anything that you think I ought to know about this individual that would help us in terms of a potential relationship. Okay?
Okay.
Now, what's going to happen is when you start using this model, themes are going to start to come out. They're going to say, you know, I like the level of contact. The service is just outstanding. You all really make a strong effort to educate me. You give me a 1-hour response to my problems with a 24-hour resolution. I like that. At first, I thought the monthly calls were going to be overwhelming, but you focus on my needs, and then you make an effort to educate me. So those are the kinds of things that you want to hear. And so, to put it all in perspective, do you deserve referrals? Yes. Have you earned referrals? Yes. Do you have a process to receive them? And that's the piece and the component that you have to continue to work on. As a corollary to that model, you might offer the new referral or prospect now the 90-day free look. Look, we want you to examine us and understand the experience you receive. So why don't you take a 90-day look, and any time during that time we'll treat you as if you were a client. You get them on the call schedule. And you have the call agendas, the topics, and you make an effort to treat them as if they were a client. And then at the end, you know, or during the process, how's it going so far? Are you understanding our delivery and our capabilities? Do you see how this would be of value to you? You know, you just go in with some general questions. Okay, let me stop talking for a minute and see if you have digested this and what you think.
Well, I mean, it sounds good. I just think that I'm going to forget it.
Okay. So just what you do to help you.
Today, what we're talking, you know, I've got a plumber here who's fixing a plumbing problem. I feel a little frenetic.
Okay. So here's what you do is the call is being recorded. You can go back and review the call to identify the topics that we discussed, you know, on the call today. So that'll make it easier. And then to retain it, what I would do is I just get a 3x5 card that you have with you, And when you're sitting down with the client, just have those letters, VIPSA, value, important, permission, suggestion, advice, and you'll be good to go. You'll be good to go. Okay? Practice it on the VA. Value,
important,
permission, with your permission, suggestion, how would you suggest I meet him or her, and your advice.
Okay. But Kelly should be on the call.
Okay.
Did he pop on by chance?
Kelly, are you there?
No, he's not. Let me do this, okay? I'm gonna try and merge him into the call, okay?
Okay.
It sound like
sure.
He's popping off. Okay.
Okay. I'll hang on.
Curtis?
Yes.
Kelly?
Yeah.
All right.
Hey there,
sorry
Kelly.
About that, Curtis. And,
no worries.
Bridget can't join the call because she's, I don't know, she sent me an email that she couldn't join the call. So,
okay,
and I emailed
okay.
Curtis and forgot that I was supposed to dial in. So, I'm like,
okay.
My gosh.
No worries.
Total, whatever.
Hey, man.
Anyway.
Look, it happens, man. Happens to me. So, when the next time it happens to me, just forgive me.
Always.
Okay.
If you don't forgive people, then they're never gonna get what you dish out. So.
Okay. Well, look, just to bring you up to speed, you know, the last time I always like to start with your agenda first, and Audra brought up this whole thing about, you know, a few survey questions, on the client review.
I've heard bringing that up before.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's not foreign territory to me at all. Okay.
Okay. So, you know, one of the things that the micro level was, how do we start getting into the referral aspect with clients during the review? And so we spent time covering this VIPSA model, and I kind of went through that again with her. We chatted about it on our last call, and so I wanted to go back and just reiterate that as a process for getting referrals.
Yeah,
now,
can I jump in just real quickly here?
Yeah, sure.
This is an area of potential strength. It's an area of relative weakness at the moment.
Okay. Okay.
Fair statement,
okay.
Audra? For, you know, I'm speaking for me, not necessarily for you, but for me. For us, or the group, or whatever.
I agree.
Okay.
And I would say it's not necessarily a strength for me too, but I'm trying to figure out a way to make it to where it's easier to execute upon. It has to be something that you know, everybody is a different personality type and it's in different strengths and weaknesses. And Kelly is like this amazing closer, but for whatever reason, referrals are very difficult for him. So something that just makes it easier
right.
and would be systematic.
Okay.
And so that's why I thought if we built it into the procedure of the annual review, then that makes it easier and it makes it systematic.
Or we might just need a flat pivot or both. I don't know. I mean, I'm open to a lot of different ways of looking at this.
I'm a big believer in you don't make an apple and orange, you know?
Well, that's why I said pivot. I didn't say we had to jump across the freeway.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so here's some thoughts. Okay, the first thing is, you know, we should have an outline of what we want to cover during a review. Okay.
Yeah.
And you do that anyway, and then at the end of the review, there should be a discussion of two things. One is the enthusiastically endorsed model, and there's a template for that in your manual, okay? You know, and basically the enthusiastically endorsed model is, can you enthusiastically endorse the CPA that you're working with, okay? Can you enthusiastically endorse the attorney that you're working with? And so you go through a little bit of that. Then you want to pivot to the discussion of referrals. And what I would say is, don't utilize the referral name. It's not like, hey, get me a referral today. Don't use the wording referral. Start with the VIPSA model, and just to repeat, This is a conversation. You know, this is a time where, you know, we want you to, where we want to get your advice. So.
Hey, Kurt,
what is it?
Just a second.
Yeah. Yeah, sure.
So, honey, that's Audrey, that's VIP, like very important person.
S-A.
Okay, I just wanted to make sure, because if you haven't been around the acronym, it just won't mean diddly-dee necessarily. So, sorry about that.
Yeah.
We talked about it.
Okay.
Yeah,
got
we
it.
Talked
okay.
about it.
I missed that part. Got it. Okay.
So, just to review again, it's, okay, the V is value. So, you're going to be asking the client, you know, what do you value from this experience? What are your takeaways? Okay? What are you getting out of this? All right? What this is doing is it's bringing that client over to your side of the table. So, you got to ask them, I'd like to get your input. What do you value from this experience? Okay? And the next one is importance. What's important to you? What are your priorities? Continue to drill down on priorities because clients' priorities change. They shift. What they thought was important 6 months ago may have changed. There could be a new birth, somebody's going off to college, they're caring for an elderly parent, all kinds of factors, you know, change. Markets get overvalued, whatever. What's important? What are your priorities? With your permission, I'd like to brainstorm a little bit with you. Who in your world? Now, world is defined as who in your relationships, people at the company, people you socialize with, so on and so forth. So who in your world would value some of the capabilities that we have as a team? Alright, so you brainstorm and you help them. Is it a colleague? Is it a partner? Is it a client of theirs that would value what you provide? Then the next component, once you finish the brainstorm, is the S stands for suggestion. How would you suggest I meet him or her? Now, the preferred method, as we've gone through Supernova, is the personal introduction. That's what you want. You want them to hold that potential prospect's hand and bring them to your office, to a breakfast, to a lunch, to an event, what have you. You want them doing that. But you're going to ask them, how would you suggest? They may respond, look, I play golf with this guy every Friday, and then we break bread during lunch. Why don't you join us for lunch? Okay, fine. That sounds great. You know, let's pencil in some time. Okay? We're usually done by 1 o'clock on Friday. Meet us at the club. Okay. So, you're giving a suggestion, but you're steering it. Now, what you don't want, here's his card, give him a call. You don't want that. You know, let's arrange a conference call. You know, you really don't want that unless they are out of state. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So, you're really looking for more of the personal introduction. So, that's number one.
Yeah.
I would say if you got to do the conference call, that's number two. Here's the business card, call the guy. That's number three. And a corollary number three might be they write a personal letter of introduction. But number one is the way that you really want to go. Your close rate on number one would be extremely high. Okay. Asking for advice makes people feel good. How can we do better? How can we help you in your situation more effectively? What are some things that you'd like to get from us? Okay? So asking for advice makes people feel valued. So that's one of the things that you want to do. And you can even ask advice on what do you think is on their mind, to the extent that you know. What are some of the problem areas that you think they would want to talk about? So ask for advice always. That's what the VIPSA model is all about. Now, there
are
FAs.
So you're asking them what you think is going to matter to them, to their friend or colleague or whatever?
Yeah, to their friend or colleague. You know, and they may say, look, I was talking to Mary the other day, and she's just so frustrated that, you know, her portfolio doesn't seem to have any correlation with the growth that's occurring in the market. And she feels like she's taken so much risk for the kind of return expectations that she has. So this is an appropriate time to be having that conversation with Mary. See, those are the kinds of feedback that you'd like to get that help you. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Without getting too intimate with what's going on with that particular client, because, you know, some of this stuff is confidential.
Can we back up just a step?
Yeah. Sure.
Yeah, on the P, on the permission?
Yes.
So you're asking them to get their permission. You like to brainstorm a little bit.
Yeah.
Who in your... I have a blank here because I was taking notes. Who in your blank
I use the word world, but
in the world.
You don't need to use that. The world is for you and I talking, but what you want to do is who in your company, who in your firm, who in your network of relationships. Would value, you know, in the church you go to and the activities that you participate in and the nonprofit on the board, you know, things that you know about that client, you're going to try to draw attention to where those closest relationships might lie. So those are things that you would mention.
Okay.
Because you're trying to stimulate and trigger the thought. Because if you say, who can you refer me to? Most people say, I can't think of anybody right now. So you have to break it.
Of course.
And then
you come across like you're needy and, you know, a lot of things. So, you don't, they might say, well, I have my golf buddy. I'm going to golf, play golf with three guys every week. And one of my guys is literally, you know, not happy with his current deal or whatever, you know. Yeah.
Yeah. Or, you know, look, there's this entrepreneur, you know, that we know that is just going like gangbusters. You need to meet this guy. So that's what you are trying to uncover. So, you know, for example, if you're working with 100 relationships and you end up getting... If you end up getting two names a year, that you're filling your pipeline with 200 prospects. And, you know, we're saying that you're capable of probably getting 6 from each client relationship. And one of the first places you can look is that sheet that should be in the file on the enthusiastically endorsed model. You know? You've got the CPA, you've got the lawyer, you might have a realtor in there, you might have a business colleague in there. You've got all of these names that are in there that are already enthusiastically endorsed.
Okay.
So now you're starting to see the tie-in on how all of this kind of relates. Now, It also relates to your COIs, your centers of influence.
Uh-huh.
You know, these are the folks that they just love you, and what you do is you reward them with a breakfast, lunch, or dinner once a month, and they feed people to you. They're parts of networks. Okay? So, if you were to take somebody like myself and you say, well, you know, Curtis, who do you know? Then I might say, well, you know, I'm in this fraternity and, you know, three of the guys are urologists. One guy is a heart surgeon. One guy is a trauma surgeon. One guy is two are intellectual property lawyers. I mean, you know, it goes on and on. There's like 50 people. And then, you know, I formed a nonprofit that I chair. And there's another 5 or 6 board members on that. And so, what I want you to realize is that you don't know the extent of the networks that surround these folks. Okay? So
yeah, let me jump in real quick, if I may.
Yeah. Okay.
That all makes sense. It's all logical. I'm hearing this like deafening silence out of Audra, but I kind of sense that she may think that personality-wise it's a stretch for me, not as much as it is for her.
No, not at all.
No?
Nope.
Okay. I stand corrected.
And you know, one of the things I'll say...
I don't think it's a stretch for me, but I'll say this. I'm a pretty blunt guy. Sometimes that's not necessarily, you know... I mean, I know how to work a room. But I just, you know, I swear to God, first, I mean, by the time I get to work and then do what I do, spend time with my son... I don't go to church every week, but I go some, and you know, time you add all that stuff up, you know, I don't know that I have, outside of my friendships, which are few but deep, obviously my marriage and family and all that, but outside of that, I'm kind of a boring dude, honestly.
But you, what you do have,
play,
though,
it's more like a lot of work and a lot of play. But you know, when I play, I go do things with my family. I don't go to this club or that club or whatever. And that might be a little bit of a hindrance in my case. But it wouldn't be in terms of using the clients in their network. I mean, I don't know. I mean, maybe I'm just rambling here, but
leverage their references. So that if I was one of your clients, what you would want to do is just tap into my network, right? That's what we were really talking about. Not yours, but, you know, having you tap into who do I know? Okay? You know, the other thing that you might not know is I've got 850 people connected with me on LinkedIn.
On what?
Okay. On LinkedIn? Social media?
Oh, on LinkedIn, yeah.
I got, you know, so I got a whole nother network of, I'm your client.
Mm.
I got 850 people connected to me on LinkedIn. So one of the things that you're going to want to do is tap into that.
Yeah.
The other thing I'll say, you and Audra both absolutely have personality plus. You really do. You are, there's a certain humbleness, but there's the intellectual capital you bring to the table. There's the honesty and integrity that seeps through the conversation. Those are the traits and characteristics that you want to leverage. And one of the reasons to ask clients what they value is they're going to give you feedback, which translates into your value proposition, the value that you provide. In other words, they're going to tell you, we like the contact. We like your honesty and integrity. You have answers to our problems. You have helpful suggestions. You make an effort to educate us. You are concerned about us. You keep us on track. Okay? And, you know, I'd like to really do something for you because I want my friends and colleagues to be working with somebody that I really respect. So now you're going to tap into my network. Okay. So that's kind of how I'm trying to help you get comfortable with just the conversation. Make a conversation.
Yeah. What do you think, Otter?
Yeah, I think it's doable, but we would have to practice it.
I agree. Yeah, and it needs to come across like we haven't. It's kind of preparing for a big meeting. You prepare, but they never know you prepare that much.
That's right.
You do.
That's right.
If they do know, then you're doing something wrong because it should come across like it's a very nonchalant conversation.
There you go.
Yeah.
There you go.
It's gonna take some practice. But you know the thing I missed, and I went through the program before, and I shamefully have to admit this, but it's the truth. I didn't really make that connection of starting with the enthusiastically endorse before you get into the VISTA.
Yeah.
I didn't make that bridge, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
for whatever reason. I mean, I guess, when the student is ready, the teacher will appear. And I know the teacher was tough teaching me, and I just wasn't listening or something. I don't know. But
well,
I'm like, well, okay. You know, I could see, okay, you get to the – and honestly, I think what it is we save our agendas. And I have, you know, I save them because I don't like to type, right?
Right. You want to cut
and paste. Like a typeless. I just go in there and cut and paste, and literally it takes me maybe 3 or 4 minutes if I've kind of had a conversation with the client before to type up the agenda, just kind of frame the conversation, if you will. And you've got an agenda item about enthusiastic endorsements. They're going to be looking at that, and they're going to be – the top of the agenda, by the way, is what's top of mind for you, which is – you know. And I've actually had some people recently – that were in meetings with us said, that's a really good thing to start with because that's kind of really what I want to talk to you about is what's on my mind, not what you got, you know? I'm like, fine.
Exactly.
Let's talk about that, you know? But I never made that bridge connection, the pivot, if you will, between the enthusiastically and, you know, let's talk about your few things here with your attorney and your CPA and your intellectual property, whatever, you know?
Exactly.
How do you feel about that? Can you enthusiastically endorse or recommend them? Because we're always looking for good people
to be able to recommend. Yeah,
that's conversation.
Yep.
Okay.
Now, where VISTA leaves off, where you also can segue, is the 90-day free look. And so let's say that it's gone to the point where you're now in front of the personal introduction. You know, what are you going to offer? Well, look, why don't you take a 4-test drive and for a period up to 90 days, I'm going to treat you as if you were a client.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to have you on a scheduled call program. We'll discuss agenda items, and then at any time, you know, from 3 weeks in to up to 90 days, you can make a determination if you'd like to work with our team. Okay? 90-day free look. So that when you leave,
kind of take the pressure off of, you know, hey, I'm not getting
making a decision. Yeah.
Yeah, they don't have to make a decision now. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. And so, you know, all of a sudden now they're getting some regular calls. You're finding out about their portfolios, about their needs, what's important to them, you know, and all of that during that period of 90 days. And what's going to happen?
Yeah.
Exactly. And what's going to happen is whoever they're working with is not doing this.
Right.
I was at a picnic recently, and I asked this guy, I said, so often are you really talking to your advisor? He says, I'm talking to him maybe twice a year. Guy's worth like $4 or $5 million. Twice a year.
Wow. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's what the reality is out there in the world. Okay?
Interesting. Yeah.
Which is more opportunity for you. Okay. So that is, you're tying in, you know, if you look at that client acquisition matrix I sent you, you're tying in the enthusiastically endorsed model, the 90-day free look, and the VIPSA referral method. Okay. So you can check the boxes on those three things. Now, there's an item on the matrix that talks about niche markets. So you have your defined benefit as a niche market. You are moving into philanthropic services.
Yep.
And you're beginning to think about corporate services. And what I'd like you to do is think about changing the name to Corporate Wellness Solutions.
Okay.
We provide corporate wellness solutions, which may be about restricted stock, which may be about stock option exercise, which may be about, you know, stock plan, you know, purchases, all that stuff. So those fall into the category.
Yeah.
Sorry to interrupt, Curtis.
I'm yeah, no,
sorry
no.
About that.
Yeah.
What do you think
yeah,
about
that's
that? Because let me tell you what. Before she asks that or answers that, can I throw something out to you real quick?
Sure.
This is something that may not make its way to either one of y'all if I don't jump in here. I just put a corporate headquarters marketing department through a meat grinder. Now they're laughing up there, but they're laughing kind of like tongue in cheek because I really sat down and took, because of some prior conversations with you, our marketing material that I would say put in front of a COI or even a client prospect, and to explain what we do and what we're focused on, and it kind of was germinated, if you will. Is that the right word? Is that even germinate? Okay. I guess it's
germinate.
The marketing piece came out of a discussion that we had on a prior conference call, let's say it was 3 months ago. And I don't know if you remember this or not, Curtis, but I said, hey, you know, we're developing these niches, and I, if you get me talking about these niches, I mean, this call will go for 3 hours. There's a lot that's been going on there in terms of business development that hadn't really materialized yet, but it will. And I won't say more than that. But I asked the question, I said, do we have too many niches? And he gave me some reassurance there. And that reassurance is kind of what gave me the fire to go in there and say, okay, I'm going to redo the marketing piece because what we got right now doesn't convey this at all. Not anybody's, you know, fault. It's really something I put together. It just doesn't convey it. It didn't convey it. We've reworked that. But we played around with that name. I mean, you know, we were Kerr Wealth Management. What do we end up with? Business Financial Services or something like that on the first page? I like Corporate Wellness Solutions. I think that's pretty cool. I think somebody could look at that and go, damn, I know what that means. But I'm kind of curious. I know what it means, but I love that. I don't know how she feels about it. I really like it.
Okay.
So I'm going to have to send one more edit. I'm gonna have to send one more edit to Minneapolis.
Okay.
And they were like, please, don't send this back to us. But I liked that so much. And there were some other edits quite long I wanted to make, but they were like, you got to stop. You're turning into Rain Man on us, you know. And you're getting so deep in the weeds on this crap that you're going to drive all of us crazy and probably have a couple of people in Minneapolis corporate jump out their window and never work with this person again. But
right.
I'm going to send it to them because I really like that.
Right, right. And see, look, let me tell you what I do. Okay. So let's say that you tell me that my niche is helping financial advisors and managers. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So what I do is I've got to make sure that I understand what's going on in the market. Now, how do I do that? Well, I might be reading a Cerulli report and their research on our industry. I'll read Investment News. I'll look at RIA Biz. I'll look at Advisor Perspectives, Advisor Hub, and many other publications, Financial Planning Magazine, just to make sure that I'm staying cutting edge. So the next thing that I do is, okay, I'm thinking about my client who is trying to move in another area, and so I start doing some research on what's going on in that particular niche. And I discover, because I did some of this work as an advisor, but I discovered that there's an evolution going on in terms of how you differentiate yourself, okay? So that people know you for something very, very specific that differentiates you from everybody else. And so what we're trying to do in Supernova is give you the tools and capabilities to really define your practice. And so I started doing some research on all of the umbrella of services and capabilities underneath this topic called corporate services. And really, I came across some things that spoke to corporate wellness solutions as being kind of the umbrella for a lot of these services that some of the firms like Merrill and Fidelity and some of the others are trying to get out into the market.
Well,
okay.
I've seen it too. They call it CES. They call it Corporate Executive Services.
Right. And
the challenge I had with that, I don't think it's a bad name, but we didn't want to alienate our current client base, which is predominantly closely held businesses. Now, that might be a $20 million. $30 million business or whatever, but they don't really. Those guys, most of them, a lot of them are women, increasingly, don't really think of themselves as an executive. Okay.
Right. Exactly.
And I'm comfortable in either realm. You know, you're being a board member with a bunch of executives that are pinned up and have the ties. You know, with
right.
Whatever. I'm like, that's fine. But if you want to sit out in a cornfield next to a steel plant, I'm fine with that too. But and so I didn't have any problem, you know, throwing a wider net and saying, hey, why don't we go after this stock plan over here at XYZ Corporation, even though I work predominantly closely. I didn't mind doing that, but I didn't want to slap corporate executive services in front of Tony Bluta, or Audrey can appreciate that, he's a client. He doesn't more see himself as an executive than I see myself as Donald Trump, you know?
But, yeah.
Damn,
okay.
You know, I mean, so that's where I was really hitting a wall, you know?
Okay.
And maybe I'm overemphasizing it a bit, but
we really did struggle with this name thing because we were like, and we landed out with something that was okay, but I think this is, I think this is significantly better.
Well, that's so good.
But anyway, I mean, that's something that we've been, really, working on, and I've gotten input from different people. The problem with this is, though, and you know this, Curtis, just from your own experience, so I'm preaching to the choir here, but you get so mired in the muck sometimes that you just forget about simplicity, right? And just having a simple message that people understand. They don't have to know a damn thing about defined benefit plans or a damn thing about investment banking or corporate stock plans. You got to have something that kind of covers that umbrella. And
exactly.
And for us, we were like, well, if we call this executive something or another, our current client base is going to look at that and go, oh, I guess it's kind of moving in a different direction these days.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
That's a bad,
yeah.
That's a bad message to send to those existing clients.
Yeah.
Well, and it's the confusing
and then
message.
You put that on your website, and they go to your website, and they see that, and they go, oh, my God, you know, I'm not an executive. I own a 50-person, you know, internet specialty company. I'm not an executive. Hell, I wear a T-shirt to work or whatever, you know? So,
there
thank
you. Go. Yeah, okay. So, look, I think the how we, you know, you're now, as you get into this matrix, so like I say, you can check off enthusiastically endorsed models, the 90-day free look, the BIPSA referral method, and your niche markets, okay, have now been kind of defined, okay, in terms of what you go after, the business you go after. And I think that is more than enough to last you for several decades or for as long as you plan on being in the business in terms of your niche markets, okay? Very good. Great to cultivate them. Now, you have to get up to speed. You know, you have to, if there's an AMA conference, American Management Association conference, ADRA, that is focused on philanthropic services, then, you know, you want to get up to speed. But those websites that I gave you have the Alliance for Nonprofit Management, so on and so forth, all of those things now have got to be part of what you look at and review and get information on, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So that you're up to speed, you can send out a friendly message, a link to an article of importance to those clients that you are trying to develop, okay?
Yeah.
I'm actually coaching a person who I've known for a long time, and she left the industry, and I'm still coaching her, and she's running a nonprofit in New Jersey, which is a tennis association, and then she just recently got named to the board of the larger association. And so so I'm having a lot of fun. So if you, you know, want to ask any questions about where I think this business can go, I mean, it's endowments, it's working with boards of directors, you know, it's all of that. And one of the things that is very clear is who really controls most of the nonprofits and the endowments in this country. And you're going to find,
yeah.
I forget the percentage, it's women. Okay?
It's what?
It's women.
Yeah.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah.
Good news.
That's really good news. I mean, women
right,
in
yeah.
general, women in general control $11.2 trillion in wealth in this country. So, a team that has that dynamic, has that sensitivity,
yeah.
you know, I mean, think about what you're dealing with, Audra. You know, you're not alone, and so you bring that sensitivity, you know, to the game. So be very, very confident, you know, in your ability to communicate.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
So we got these niche markets defined, and I think the next topic on that matrix that we want to deal with, not to kind of get you overwhelmed, is your social media. And we'll reserve that topic for next time. What I did is I drafted a, because I felt like Supernova was just a tad bit weak on the social media piece. In other words, we said, hey, you need to have social media, you need to be on LinkedIn. And we would leave it at that. So what I did is I went out and did some research, and I typed up 34 bullets on expanding client marketing via LinkedIn. Okay? So I'm going to email this to you, and it can be a starting point for discussion on our next call. Here was one of the stats that I found out. Okay, there's 546 million users globally on LinkedIn. 146 million users in the U.S. They're in 200 countries. Photos are 36 times more likely to receive messages and 21 times more likely to receive views. You must list 5 or more skills. You'll get 17 more views when your skills have been identified. And 100,000 articles are posted on a weekly basis. Okay? So just from the rationale of why you have to have a presence. And look, I got to be honest with you, LinkedIn is in our backyard out here in the San Francisco Bay Area. And I am now just learning how to take advantage of it myself. I mean, I'm getting, you know, 167 monthly views. And I need to be taking advantage of that.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, so just imagine if you do this right and you start ramping your views up to 150 to 200. I gotta think that there's probably 4 or 5 potential leads in those social media views. And what happens when you start cross-posting every client to see if they're connected on LinkedIn? You know, let's just say only 50 of your clients of 100 are on LinkedIn, and each of them have a presence of just 300. Well, you know, look at what you've done to expand your network.
It's a picture of their network, so it makes it easier to do VIPSA.
Exactly.
Yeah. I tell you what, I think I have to admit this, but 6 weeks ago I sat down with Bridget and somebody in our IT department in Minneapolis, and they sent us the forms to designate her to be kind of the contact. She's a lot better at technology.
Mm-hmm.
She's better. So I'm pretty darn good. I'm the least tech friendly of the bunch. But I just need to fill out the form and send it to them and get her kind of working on that for us. So we'll, between now and the next call when we're talking about that, we should have some forward progress and actually have a meaningful conversation about it.
Good. You know, a team photo and individual photos, and you can even adjust your banner on Supernova. And have your value
nobody
put up there.
Nobody wanted to do the group photo thing. We got a bunch of shy people in our group. I was okay with the group photo, but Audra and Bridget were not. They were like, no.
Please don't let me know. Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
Then maybe your photo is the lead photo.
They're in trouble now.
You know, but I will tell you this is that sometimes people want to know that there's diverse elements of your team.
Sure.
You know, I got an email from the, yeah, you know, I mean, they just kind of want to know that. So, you know, you just, think about that. I'm going to email you a PDF, and I want you to look at these bullets as my notes, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Just notes about social media.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Before we close, anything else on your mind, anything that is resonating that you feel I need to pay more attention to?
You got water?
No, I think we're good.
You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to, I am going to call you offline first, and it may be a couple of weeks or so. I want to collect my thoughts. I took real good notes. It was a very good call. Very helpful as always. I just want to kind of collect the thoughts of Bridget and Artie separately. And then come back to you before we have our next call. And I won't dominate your time. I'm thinking maybe you have a 10 or 15 minute offline discussion or something.
Sure, that's fine. Okay. Do you have my direct line? Let me give you my direct line.
Yeah, don't even give it to me. I need to put it in my contacts on my cell phone. But yeah, go ahead.
Okay. It's 925-324-3983.
Got it. Okay. Perfect. And I'll text you before I call you, just to make sure, you know, we get a date and a time that's convenient for you.
Okay, perfect. Well, look, you all have, you know, an enjoyable rest of the week, and you're doing an outstanding job, Audra, and, you know, handling it all, managing it all, you know, it's great. So you all have a great weekend as well.
Thank you,
sir. Thank you.
Yeah, all righty. Take care. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye.